The New Testament lesson is taken from Mark, verses 1 to 23. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law who come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples were eating their food with hands that were ritually unclean, that is, that they had not been washed in the way that the Pharisees said they should. For the Pharisees, as well as the rest of the Jews, follow the teaching they received from their ancestors. They do not eat unless they wash their hands in the proper way, nor do they eat anything that comes from the market unless they wash it first. And they follow many other rules which they have received, such as the proper way to wash cups, pots, copper bowls, and beds. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why is it your disciples do not follow the teaching handed down by our ancestors, but instead eat with ritually unclean hands?" Jesus answered them, "How right Isaiah was when he prophesied about you. You are hypocrites, just as he wrote, 'These people say God honor me with their words, but their heart is really far away from me. It is no use for them to worship me because they teach man-made rules as though they were my laws. You put aside God's command and obey the teachings of men.'" And Jesus continued, "You have a clever way of rejecting God's law in order to uphold your own teaching. For Moses commanded, 'Respect your father and mother, and whoever curses his father or mother is to be put to death.' But you teach that if a person has something he could use to help his mother or father, but says, 'This is Corban,' which means it belongs to God, he is accused from helping his father or mother. In the way the teaching you pass on to others cancels out the word of God, and there are many other things like this that you do." Then Jesus called the crowd to him once more and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing that goes into a person from the outside which can make him ritually unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of the person that makes him unclean." When he left the crowd and went into the house, his disciples asked him to explain this, saying, "You are no more intelligent than others," Jesus said to them. "Don't you understand? Nothing that goes into a person from the outside can really make him unclean, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then goes out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared that all foods are fit to be eaten. And when he went on to say, "It is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean. For from inside, from a person's heart, come the evil ideas which lead him to do immoral things, to rob, to kill, commit adultery, be greedy, and do all sorts of evil things, deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these things come from inside a person and make him unclean." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Dorothy. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you. Thank you for this word, for your law, but also for Jesus, who helps us to understand it better and how to apply it to ourselves. Help us, God, to hear your word for us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So back before Advent, we were working through the book of Mark. And we got through basically 6 chapters, and then we jumped ahead and did the Transfiguration as well in chapter 9. And then we took a break so we could go back to the Advent stories, the Nativity stories. But I wanted to come back to Mark because there's still a lot there. And so from now until the beginning of Lent, at least, we will be continuing through the book of Mark. Interestingly, where we'll get to is actually to the Palm Sunday story in Mark. Because Mark, although he's very, very fast in what the stories he tells at the beginning, he really does slow down during Holy Week and takes a little bit more time to talk about the time between when Jesus enters on the donkey to Jerusalem and when he dies on the cross and then is resurrected. So we'll see as we get closer to Lent what we do then. But one of the things I found as I was looking through the passages that we're going to be looking at through the next few weeks is we have a lot of questions. Some of them are asked by other people, but in virtually every passage we're going to read, Jesus asks someone a question. So the series back in the fall was called Good News on the Move, so now we're into Good News on the Move Questions Edition. And what we're going to do is every week we're going to look at a different question Jesus asks. And then we're going to end that at the beginning of March with an all-ages service where we get to turn the tables and ask Jesus our questions. So over on the table here, I'll try and get another one at the back for next week. There's a little basket and a little sign and little pieces of paper that say, my question for Jesus. Now, I'm not Jesus, we're not Jesus, but we're going to try and answer some of those questions together in our all-ages format at the beginning of March. So you can put your name to your question if you want. If you'd rather it be anonymous, that's okay too. I can't promise we'll get to all of them, but if you put your question in, then we'll look at it, and it'll be a mix of perhaps some reflection from me, some little group activities or group discussion that we can kind of explore some of these questions together. So hopefully that's clear, and those will be out for the next, like, six, seven weeks. So think about your question if you want. You can add it another week. All right. So when I was looking at this reading, I couldn't help but think of one of my favorite modern Christmas movies. I know Christmas is over and we want to forget about it till next year for some people, but I got one more Christmas anecdote before we move on. And it's from a movie called Noel, which is a Disney movie where the main character, Noel, is trying to help her brother become Santa. So he's the next Santa. And this is going to be his first Christmas acting as Santa. And she's trying to help him get ready. And one of the things he has to know how to do as Santa is know who's on the naughty list and who's on the nice list. And so she's practicing with him with some that their dad had already done before he passed away. And so she puts a picture up. So we're going to put the first picture up here. And she shows this little girl's picture. And she says to him, okay, Santa, is she naughty or nice? And he looks at her and says, oh, that's got to be a nice girl. And she says, well, she's cheated on every math test she's ever written. And then she shows this next picture and says, what about this kid? And he says, well, a bag of, or a stocking full of coal if I've ever seen one. And she says, he saved a kitten from a tree after visiting his grandmother in the nursing home. And of course, thank you. And of course, the point, G will get rid of it. Yeah. And of course, the point is, she says, Santa always said, it's not what they look like, it's knowing what's in their heart that matters. Which is essentially what Jesus says in our passage. But we're not quite there yet, because it starts with a question. A question from the Pharisees. Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? Now, we translate this unclean, the word is really common or regular, as in their hands have not been set apart before they eat their food. It's not really about the stuff on the bottom of your shoe or whether you've come inside and washed your hands regularly. It's about whether you've gone through this ceremonial cleansing before you eat. And here's the thing. The Pharisees are not asking Jesus a genuine question. They don't really want to know the answer. They're trying to bring him shame. They're trying to say in a public setting, look, you shouldn't listen to this guy. His disciples don't even follow our laws. How trustworthy can he possibly be? As they do this over and over, they always expect Jesus to trip up. Now, when other people ask him a genuine question, Jesus tends to answer it often. But with the Pharisees at this point, he knows they're not being sincere. So he doesn't even bother answering their question. Instead, he points out a hypocrisy in their own laws. And he talks about something being Corban. And that's why we read that little passage from Leviticus, which maybe felt a little bit out of place. Because the word that we hear in English as offering in Hebrew is korban. And it means it's something that is given to God at the altar, something that is set aside as being holy. And in our Leviticus passage, we're hearing about the criteria upon which you can give and then redeem back an animal that's been determined korban. Because if you give, usually in exchange for something you want from God, often was the way that this would be given, there was a set price as to what you had to give. And it was typical, often it was yourself, it was a person. But if you didn't want to become a servant at the temple, then you could give animals in your place. And there was a set process for figuring out how much an animal was worth. And you could give a clean or an unclean animal. And they had prices, and the priest set the price. And once you gave them, they weren't yours anymore. They belonged to the temple. And if you wanted them back, you had to pay an extra 20% to get them back. Basically, you were paying almost like a penalty because you were taking something and making it unholy again after it had been given to God. So all of this is in the background. All of this, the crowd and Jesus' disciples and the Pharisees and Jesus, they know all of this. And Jesus says, one of our commandments, our chief commandments, is to honor your father and mother. And that means caring for them when they're too old to be able to care for themselves, when they're not able to work anymore. Your job is to care for your parents. But we also have this tradition where people can give to the temple. And if you give to the temple, your declaration is that those things can't be used to care for your parents. And that's okay. And Jesus says, but it's not okay. Because you're using your traditions to avoid responsibility for something that God has commanded. And Jesus says that's a problem. Now, he doesn't say you shouldn't give gifts to God. He doesn't say you shouldn't make sacrifices. He doesn't even really say, as we hear a little bit later on, that you shouldn't avoid eating certain foods. What he says is that that rote following of tradition does not in itself make you holy. It doesn't make you a good follower of God, a good follower of Jesus, to follow those rote things that you've been told to do. Jesus says that's how you become a hypocrite. You get so caught up in your tradition that you miss out on the harm you're causing because of it. And then he goes and he separates away from the Pharisees and the crowds and he goes with his disciples and the disciples are like, huh? What on earth are you talking about, Jesus? They're thinking, surely we must have misunderstood. Surely Jesus isn't taking away that the hundreds of years of tradition that we've been following. Jesus, please explain what you're talking about. And Jesus asks them a question. Don't you understand? Don't you understand that what goes in your body doesn't make you unclean? Think about it. It goes through your body, it gets processed in your stomach, and it comes out. And what's interesting is in Jewish tradition, what comes out is not considered unclean. It might be considered objectionable. We could probably all agree on that. But it wasn't unclean. Jesus says there's something else going on when we say that eating food can be bad. Jesus says we have to look at our hearts. It's actually what's going on in our hearts that matter. We see the same thing in Paul. Paul's talking to the Jewish and the Gentile Christians. They're arguing about what you should eat in Romans. And Jesus says, look, if you see certain foods as unclean, as making you less able to follow God, then don't eat those foods. But if you can see that it doesn't matter what food you put in your body, then you don't have to avoid them just because tradition says that you should. But he says, if you truly believe that those foods, that that's a problem for you in following Jesus because you're eating those foods, then if you eat them, you're sinning. Because you're going against how your heart, how God is helping you to walk. Different people have different temptations. Different people have different limitations. And if having those rituals helps you be a better Christian, then go at it. But if they're causing harm, if they're preventing people from knowing Jesus, if they're keeping people, in this case, from taking care of their parents, of following their responsibilities, you've got a problem, says Jesus. And I don't know if you noticed this, but he lists a whole bunch of sins as examples of things that come from the heart. And virtually all of them involve other people. This is the thing that I've noticed, right? The way we identify sin is it causes harm. So he lists things like theft and murder and adultery and envy and slander. And he says, actually, what he says is they make us common. They make us ordinary, that word that we often translate as unclean. They make us everyday. They make us no different from anybody else. And I think this is where Jesus is really trying to get to. Jesus wants other people to look at our behavior and go, huh? The way you're acting is so different from what I expect. But not in the, oh, that's just a quirk, but in the, that's not what we're being taught. The, oh, you could have cheated on the test and get away with it and you didn't. Oh, you've taken your own time out of your workday to help your colleague because they need it. Oh, you're not lying about what you did, you're taking responsibility for your action. You're honoring the promise you made, even though it causes you financial harm? What is going on here? This is not what we've been taught. This is not how we've been taught to live. Why are you so different? And even harder sometimes, when we do those things we're not supposed to, you're owning up to your mistake? You're seeking forgiveness and reparation? What is going on? If we want people to take notice and wonder about whether this Jesus guy is worth trusting, it simply isn't enough to wear some merch and go to church. This is my rhyme for the week. It's not enough to just wear certain clothes or even a cross around our necks and say, I'm not available for brunch on Sunday, I've got church. Jesus says there's something more. It needs to be apparent that the fact that we do those things makes a difference in how we live and how we interact and who we are. And of course, conversely, as I was saying with the kids, we can't look at someone by their clothes, by the first impression we have, and say, ooh, that's a sinner. I don't want to be near that person. Because we can't know their hearts in that first moment. And so we're invited into the hard task of getting to know each other, of asking each other sometimes difficult questions and finding out what's really behind it, of looking for those who are kind and who are helpful, even if they look or behave in ways we don't expect, or maybe even make us uncomfortable. Jesus says it's the heart, not the appearance, that tells the story. So this is the question Jesus asks us. Do we understand what makes us unclean? Do we understand what shows us as a follower of Jesus? Let us pray. Gracious God, we see you. We read all these stories about how you acted and how you interacted, and all too often we don't understand. So help us. Clear our minds, and more importantly, clear our hearts to see who you are, to be more like you. Help us to be led by you, and help us to preserve judgment until we've had a chance to get to know someone else's heart, to know where we can find good friends and close community. We pray we would be a community where people would find that here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.